apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people at Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious name, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the richness of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed to Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all the things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory.
We're a bit light on this morning. It's nice to have you here this morning. Before I start, though, I'm just going to say a happy birthday from us all. Dorothy, just stand up. We won't sing. This week on Tuesday, Dorothy turns 85. So let's just pray for Dorothy and just pray to our Lord. Gracious God, we want to say thank you for this wonderful community that you've enabled us to be part of. We thank you for each person that you've brought here, each member, each bringing something different with us, different gifts, different abilities, different passions, different experience. And we especially thank you for Dorothy, for her 85 years of committed service and love for you. We just thank you for all that she does here in our church family, but also in our community. And we just ask you to bless her and to bless her family also. And we just pray also that you will bless us with the presence of your Spirit this morning. And I ask that you speak clearly through me and that you enable us to see you more clearly and to be able to follow you more closely after we hear this message this morning. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, a couple of people before I proceed have told me that they don't yet have a church directory. If you don't have one and you'd like one, just come and see me afterwards. I've got a couple of extra ones that Cassandra had printed off. It just tells you people's, well, photos, which is very helpful in a church like ours to know people's names, but also just phone numbers and emails for getting in touch with people. So if you let me know, I can give you one of those. A couple of people have asked, and I confess I can't actually remember who asked me. So you'll have to come to me. Okay, so if I said to you the word church, I wonder what's the first thing that comes into your mind. If you don't think about it too clearly, if I just said to you the church, what is it that you think of? Most people would think of a fancy building. They might think of a steeple on the top of a building. They might think of a cross. Could maybe have stained glass windows, maybe some uncomfortable pews that people have to sit in every week. Most people hear the word church and they straight away think about a building. I think some of us probably do the same too. We think about the place where people go on a Sunday. But it wasn't until the 4th century when Emperor Constantine in the Roman Empire made Christianity the official religion that people actually started to meet in a special building. Before that, they met in people's homes, often in secret because of persecution. The Bible teaches that the church is not just a building. And so this morning we're going to start a four-week series on being the church. And I think it's important that we actually start with the foundation of who or what actually is the church. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So we're going to start with some words that Peter wrote. He said, "You are a chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation. You are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Now, Peter wrote this to believers who were scattered all over the Roman Empire because he wanted to encourage them by reminding them that they were the people of God. They were the people of God. That regardless of where they were living, regardless of how they got there, regardless of where they'd come from, they were a chosen people. They were a royal priesthood. They were a holy nation. They were God's own special possession. But these Christians in the first century, they weren't the first people to be called the people of God. See, God's always had people that he's called his own. Always. Right from the very, very beginning, because he's a relational God. He wants to have a relationship with people. He's not just some distant creator out there. He's not just someone who's standing up there in judgment of people. He wants to be known and to know people. It's a key reason for why he created people in the first place. And so we see that Abraham's descendants... And so, in Genesis, God says, "Let us make humankind in our image after our likeness." So God created human beings in his own image. God blessed them and he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." Then God looked over all that he'd made and he saw that it was very good. But he doesn't just leave it there. He doesn't just create them and then put them in the garden and just leave them to it. In the very next chapter, we read that God was walking in the garden with these people. God was talking with them. God was asking for their opinion on what to name animals. He was interacting with these people that he'd made. There was relationship. He gave them authority over the earth and he told them to take care of it. He gave them responsibility for developing a community where everyone would be able to live and worship and enjoy life the way that he'd intended. See, this was to be the kingdom of God, a world that was created in perfect harmony. But we know that instead of living the way that God intended, humans tried to be independent of God. They chose to go their own way. Sin entered our world and that relationship between humans and God was broken. But so was the harmonious society that he'd been planning. God didn't give up. He decided that he would create a new way for the kingdom of God to take shape. This time it was in the form of a family, and that came from the line of Abraham. God chose Abraham to be the father of this new people. And he made a covenant or an agreement with him, saying, "I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. I'll make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations and kings will be among them. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God." Abraham's descendants, which became known as the Israelites, they became the new people of God. And just like God had promised, they grew to be a mighty nation, huge. They took over the land of Canaan and they enjoyed the presence of God with them. In return for that, they were supposed to fulfill God's purposes, just like those first humans, Adam and Eve, were supposed to. The Israelites were supposed to worship God and live out the kingdom of God. They were supposed to be a light to the nations, an example to others of what God wanted all of society to be like. But just like those first humans, the Israelites chose independence. They chose to go their own way and to seek to be the same as the people around them. See, they wanted the privileges of being God's people, but they didn't want the responsibility. They didn't want to have to do anything that didn't quite fit in with their own desires and their own comforts. So they broke that covenant relationship they had with God. And they ended up losing what God had given them. They lost their land. They lost their identity. And with the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, they also went on to lose that visible sign of God's presence with them. You know, as a people, they ended up living in exile. God's people ended up living in exile without the things that he'd promised them and under the rule of foreign powers, praying and hoping that God would come and rescue them. And we know that after 400 years in exile, God did, by sending Jesus, his son, to save them. Problem was, most of the Israelites didn't recognise or acknowledge that Jesus was this awaited Messiah, the one that they'd been hoping for. Not even the religious leaders, not even the scribes, the scholars who knew the scriptures the best, recognised Jesus as the one that they'd been praying for. And so instead of the Jews being the people of God who enjoyed this privilege of living out the kingdom, that honour now fell to another new people. And that new people included Gentiles and Jews, but it includes people like you and me. In his letter to the church in Ephesus, Paul wrote these words, which are words that are favourites of mine. No? Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross. Instead of it being now about what ethnic group you belong to, the people of God now became about belief alongside a way of life. The people of God became those who chose to trust in the truth of Jesus Christ, who chose to believe that he came to save them and that he did that by living a perfect life, by dying on the cross for our sin and by overcoming death and rising back to life. The people of God became the men and women who chose to live their life by following in the words and the ways of Jesus Christ. And what began as this small number of committed Jewish followers soon grew to include outsiders from within Jerusalem and then Samaria and then from all over the world, just as Jesus had said it would in Matthew 28. The book of Acts, which we're going to look at next term, gives us this great description of how this all unfolded, of how the gospel spread from this tiny group of Jewish believers. And in the book of Acts, we see that this people of God, this new people of God, became known as Christians or Christ followers, and collectively they became known as the church. And the church it comes from a Greek word, ecclesia, which refers just to a gathering or to an assembly. It's a reminder that we are bigger than individuals. We're the church as a group. The same words that God used to describe his people in the Old Testament are now used to describe his new people in the new. In Exodus, we read, God saying, I will claim you as my own people and I will be your God. To his new people, he says, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. You and I are part of the new people of God. If you go back to the verses that Joy read out to us, this is who we are. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Just think about that. You and I are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Not just some of them. Every, all of them. We are loved by God. We are chosen by God. Now, I don't know about you, but that just astonishes me because I am nothing special. And yet I am chosen and loved by God. Chosen to be holy and blameless without fault in his eyes. God looks at me and instead of seeing all my sin and all my wrongdoing, he sees Jesus. Without fault in his eyes. We've been adopted into God's own family. Sons and daughters of the family of God. Given his Holy Spirit. I mean, does it get any better than that? And none of that is because of anything good that you or I might have ever done in the past or can ever do in the future. We're the people of God and we have this simply because God is gracious and kind and loving and merciful. Paul writes, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead because of our sins. It's by God's grace that you've been saved through faith, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation's not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good things he planned for us long ago. How good are those verses? You and I have been chosen to share in all the blessings and all the privileges that God has always offered to his people. But there's always a but. It's not so we can feel good about ourselves. It's not so we can just have this ticket into heaven. It's as Peter says, it's so that we can declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. See, we have the privileges of being called and chosen and a special possession, but alongside that comes responsibilities. Just like the first humans, Adam and Eve, had privilege and responsibility. Just like the Israelites had privilege and responsibility, so do we. Our responsibility is to make disciples by making Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God known. It's by taking care of what God's made. It's by contributing to developing a society where everybody is able to live and worship and enjoy life the way God intended. It's us praying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray and living out that prayer of your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Through Jesus, that kingdom has come to earth, but unfortunately, the church has in many ways gone in the same direction that Adam and Eve and the Israelites did. See, we've wanted the relationship with God. We've wanted that place in his kingdom. We've wanted that promise of eternity. But we haven't wanted to do the hard yards of discipleship. The church has a history of hiding away in our church buildings. We've created programs that all too often have actually separated us from the very people that we need to be spending time with. We've spent most of our time with people who already know Jesus. When I was growing up, we were strongly discouraged, both within my family, but particularly within our church, from having friends outside the church. All our socialising was with other Christians. Usually, that was also Christians that were in the same denomination as us. We were discouraged from going to parties with even friends from school, discouraged from doing things with people outside the church. I don't actually remember my parents having friends or socialising with anyone that wasn't part of our denomination. Our life when I grew up revolved around doing church rather than being the church. Do you get the difference? It was around our programs, the things that involved and benefited the people in the church rather than out in the community. I mean, how did we think that people were going to see and know Jesus when his people hid away and just kept very comfortably to themselves? In many ways, the church in the West has failed to live out God's purposes, just the same as God's people have in the past. We've chosen to do church instead of be the church. We've chosen to make it about us, about what we like, about what we're comfortable with, rather than the purpose and mission of God. See, God's plan was to create a society where there was harmony and equality and justice for all, where there would be no need for us to be having conversations about climate change or poverty or refugees or slavery, because it wouldn't exist. We put aside God's mandate of being a light to the nations by not even associating with the nations. God's mandate of revealing Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God to the world around us through how we lived our lives, through our words and our actions. We ignored the promptings of God's Spirit and withdrew into our church buildings, but also into our homes, into our families. We became too busy, or too committed to our family, or too committed to the programs within our churches, too busy to speak and act for God. The church has a history of focusing in recent years on personal salvation, and that's come at the expense of the broader community. This sense of I'm okay, so it's okay. And we've forgotten that it's actually about us as a group. As a family, we're the people of God, not individuals. It's together that we're the people of God. And that runs really countercultural to what our society says today. Society that promotes individualism. Society that encourages people to focus on themselves. It's the opposite of what Jesus taught and expects of his people. But, and this is a good but, the church hasn't completely failed. On a global scale, over time, there's been some huge wins that we can attribute to the church. We've seen the abolition of the slave trade, the establishment of schools and orphanages, hospitals and aid programs. And more recently, there's been this prophetic voice that's emerged that's been calling for ethical, transparent, fair trade practices, calling for equality regardless of gender or age or ethnicity. And these things have very often come through God's people being the church, listening and acting on the Spirit's promptings and reaching outside of themselves to create this harmonious and just society that God intended. That is exciting. But it's not just globally. It's also local. I mean, I look at the direction that we've taken as a church in recent years, and I am so encouraged and excited at the opportunities that we've been creating through our English class, through our playtime and our friendship club. These things are about more than being a service to the community, because we've been intentionally making ourselves accessible and available to the people around us, just like Jesus did. We've been seeking to meet the needs of people in our community. We've been connecting them, helping them to be confident and able to contribute in society. Through these activities, we've been being the church. Today, as we meet here, we meet together to worship and to praise God and to learn. We're being the church. When we meet during the week for connect groups, for different activities, when we meet to pray, to grow, to share meals, to share our lives, we're being the church. Through our partnerships with like-minded people like Sydney Alliance, through our visit with local MPs, this week Paria and I are meeting with an interfaith group of six people to see John Alexander, to challenge him about our government's treatment of refugees. When we engage in these things, we are being the church. Our plans to become a community space, to use our property for engaging with the community, where people, providing a place where people around us can come together and feel safe and feel welcome, where they can enjoy life and be included, that's us being the church. All of these actions allow people around us to see Jesus and to see the kingdom of God. We are the church. You and I, we're the church. Together, we are the people of God. The people that God has called and chosen to carry out his mission here in West Ryde. Now, we don't do that alone. We do that in partnership with other local churches, with other different agencies, parachurch organisations. Together, we carry out this mission of God. His mission of reconciliation, of restoration of the world. And I love that. I love being part of that. Being part of a church that is embracing this idea of being the church instead of just doing church. And I know that one day we are going to hear God say these words, "Come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." And the king will say, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did for me." When we act as the church, when we seek to feed and to clothe, to connect, to encourage, to be a voice for, when we seek to do those things, we are the church. And God says, Jesus says, when you do those things, you do them for me. You act as my people. Who or what is the church? It's us. It's not this building. It's not this property. It's us, the people of God. We are his community, gathered together around our shared faith, around our love for Jesus, living out the kingdom of God. Before I finish and pray, I want to show this short video. It just goes for 1 minute, but it just gives a really good summary of what we've looked at this morning. And can I say, if you haven't signed up to be in one of the Connect groups over the next 4 weeks, can I encourage you to do that? For the next 4 weeks, to just make some time each week. There's some groups meeting in the day, some at night, some on the weekend, some midweek. But as a way for you to be able to talk about some of these things, Next week, we'll be looking at what makes us, West Ryde Community Church, distinct from other local churches. Not better, but just different. James is going to be talking about the Baptist component of that. What makes us distinct as Baptists from the Anglicans or the Uniting or the Catholics? Not better, just different. The week after that, we'll be looking at what makes us here as the church, what are the different gifts and abilities and passions and experience that in bringing us together, God's brought here? How can we be using those? And Cameron's going to be helping talk about that. The final week, we're going to look at our community around us and how our church, as we seek to be the church, can be speaking into the life of this community. The more practical elements of that, and Paria is going to help speak into that. So if you're not part of one of those groups, can I encourage you? There's a piece of paper in the foyer. There's different people who are going to lead those groups. And it would be great if as many people as possible could be part of that so that questions can be raised, so that discussion can be had, encouragement, ideas shared, so that together we're learning and growing. Let's just have a look at this video. Very helpful after I'd written this and found that. Don't think of the church as where you are for an hour or two each week, but what you are every day of the week. Because the church is the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And feet don't stand still, and hands don't sit idle. Feet go, and hands do. So now go and be the church. Let's pray. Lord, it just blows my mind that you would call and choose us to be your people. It is so incredibly humbling to think that even in our sin, even in our wrongdoing, that you would still seek us out, that you still desire a relationship with us, that you still choose to call us your sons and your daughters, and to offer us the keys of the kingdom. Lord, you offer us such an incredible privilege. Help us to also accept the responsibility, not begrudgingly, but because we want to, because out of an expression of gratitude and thankfulness, we can do nothing else. Because we are so thankful to be called your people, so grateful for the opportunity that you have offered to us to be your children, to be the church, your people, your light to this community, to the nations around us, nations that you've brought to us. Lord, help us to be the church. Help us to be a light to the nations. Help us to be your hands and feet and voice in this community, to make ourselves accessible and available like you did, so that through us, people can see and know and consider and understand who God is and what he offers them. So that through us, people can see and know Jesus for themselves, and enjoy a relationship with you just like we do. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.